In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations, we finally reached it. The perfect, ultimate version of a June day. I love this time of year. For me, it's the time when the world feels the most vibrant, especially on a day when it's 72 degrees with a light breeze and the leaves are out on the trees and the sky is blue and the bricks are red. It makes it all the sogginess of spring feel like it was worth it because we actually got some greenery out of it. June is a time of transformation and growth. The school year is coming to an end or has just come to an end, and summer vacation is beginning, and you can see it in the faces and hear it in the voices of the kids on the streets. The days are as long as they're going to get, and you can hear it in the voices of the birds in the mornings. The days are warm and bright, and all around Charlestown, on streets wide and narrow, utility trucks have come to jackhammer and rip things up and patch it up again. And then they've come to leaf blow and to street sweep so we can put our trash on the ground today and they can clean it up again. Even Jesus has joined in the spirit of the season. For his part, he gives us two parables of growth this Sunday, two images from the natural world to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a seed sown in the ground, he says, and the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, smallest of all the seeds. And there's a parade today and some other holidays as well, so that's all the cute intro you're going to get today. What is it that Jesus has to say about the kingdom of God? Before getting into the parables themselves, I actually want to say a word about exactly that, the kingdom of God, and what that means. Jesus doesn't say God is like a sower who scatters seed on the ground. Maybe that's another parable. And he doesn't say that our faith is like a mustard seed, which will grow in us. That, too, is a different parable altogether. These parables aren't about you or me or Jesus or God. They're about the kingdom of God, he says. And for Jesus, that's almost a technical term. It's the main thing he's here to teach about. He doesn't go around telling people what to do for the most part. He doesn't, for the most part, go about telling people how to deepen their spiritual lives or grow in prayer. He's there to tell us something about the kingdom of God. That kingdom is not a place. It's more of a situation or a reality, the kingship of God, the state of the universe in which God rules and no one else. God's people had been ruled in the past by famous kings, by David and Solomon and all their descendants, and they had ultimately failed. They had ultimately failed to lead the people in the kind of love and justice that God intended. By Jesus' day, they'd been ruled for hundreds of years by foreign kings, the emperors of Babylonia and of the Seleucids and the Romans. But they had no interest in following God's law, let alone God. The prophets had long foretold that there would come a time when God himself would come down and become king, when God would give up on human rulers and shepherd the people. And so the kingdom of God became a kind of shorthand for this vision of a better future, where things would be put right and where God would finally come to lead the people in justice and peace. As Jesus begins his ministry, John the Baptist is preaching that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. And Jesus begins to teach the people what that means. So they're curious. Has Jesus come to establish the kingdom of God as opposed to the Roman Empire or the various Roman client states that rule over them now? Will he lead them in a revolutionary war? Will they finally throw the Romans out? When the kingdom of God comes, will there be a parade to celebrate it? Not exactly, Jesus says. So I want to say three things about these two parables about the kingdom of God. Thing number one, this kingdom grows slowly on its own schedule in unobserved and often unobservable ways. It's like a seed, Jesus says, sown upon the earth. Day after night, the farmer wakes up and checks on the seed and goes to sleep. But nothing that the farmer does can affect its growth especially in the days before modern fertilizers and irrigation, when all they had to rely on was the rain. The farmer can't even see that change much of the time. The seed begins to sprout and grows, but it's under the dirt. And until it sprouts up, there's nothing to look at, and yet the farmer goes day after day. The earth produces of itself, which is an awkward English translation of a Greek word, automate, which means automatically, just as you might guess. The seed grows automatically, on its own, and just as there's nothing I can do to affect the way the gears shift in my automatic car, there's nothing we can do to affect that seed of the kingdom of God beginning to sprout. So whatever God is doing in the world or in your life, it's happening in its own way and on its own time, depending on the rain. And you might barely be able to see it growing, let alone hurry it along. And yet, and this is the second thing I want to say, things only happen slowly until they happen all at once. Night turns to day and day turns to night. The farmer goes to sleep and rises again as the seed slowly grows into a plant, the stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain in the head, and then, whoop, the scythe comes out, and it's harvest time. There's nothing for the farmer to do day after day after day until the grain is ripe, and then all of a sudden there's more work than one person can do, and the whole village turns out, adults and children and everyone else, all at once to harvest the grain. It's like the parable of the leaven Jesus tells about mixing a little bit of yeast into a lot of flour. The bread slowly rises and rises and rises and rises, and then it's thrown into the oven to bake, and it changes in a very big way. God acts in the world sometimes through slow, steady preparation, and then a sudden change. And what a change it is. And that's thing number three. When God starts working in the world or in our lives, we often can't imagine what's going to come out on the other side. The mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds, Jesus says, but the shrub that grows is big. And this is a testament to the scale of what God can do, taking a tiny seed and transforming it into a huge plant. But the parable of the mustard seed isn't just about God making something small, very big. The shrub and the seed aren't just different in size, after all. They're actually very different in the kind of thing they are. Who could look at a tiny little mustard seed and imagine the plant? Or for a more local image, who could look at an acorn or a little whirligig and imagine an oak tree or a maple a few hundred years down the road? Take a look at one of those trees outside when you leave. Towering and green and waving in the breeze, and try to imagine its growth in reverse. Shrink it all the way back down to a tiny seed, and then imagine all you had to look at was that seed, and you didn't know anything about what trees would be like. And how could you possibly imagine what was going to come out of it? Jesus tells us that we live in a world of seeds that God has planted all around us and that are just beginning to grow. And we can only begin to imagine what they'll become. All around us, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our own lives, the kingdom of God is slowly growing like a seed. Whatever change God is bringing about in us is growing slowly and slowly and slowly, and then sometimes all at once. And you might not notice it right now. The mustard seed is, after all, Jesus says, the smallest of the seeds. Not technically true, but we'll give him some poetic license. If you're wondering how small, well, you all know that I don't usually go in for the like gimmicky props and preaching aids and sermon illustrations and things, but this small, can you see how small it is? In fact, I've been even more gimmicky today. All around this church, I've hidden about a dozen mustard seeds. I did it this morning so Brian wasn't confused when he came to clean yesterday. And I've left a couple little bowls on the way out the doors. And you have homework. And it's this. Two parts. Take a mustard seed home, if you'd like. Try to keep track of it. When you lose it, as you inevitably will, think about the fact that this is exactly the point, that those little seeds of the kingdom of God scattered around you are hard to keep track of, but they might grow into something big. And then second, keep your eyes open for the mustard seeds scattered around. Literally, the ones in the church. If you find one, there's a prize. I don't know what it is yet. But also for the mustard seeds scattered around your lives. For those little places where the kingdom of God might be germinating, where the Holy Spirit might be moving, where Jesus might be doing something in your relationships or in your work or in the work that you do in the world. Think, when you see a little seed of something growing, is this something God might be doing here? How would I know? And how will I know when it's sprouted and ready to harvest? And can I even begin to imagine what it might become? We can do these things in faith, knowing that God is growing those seeds without us, that God has planted and God is providing the rain. And all we need to do is to dream about what they might become and be prepared to join in the harvest. For you have made us glad by your acts, O Lord, and we shout for joy because of the works of your hands. Amen.